Amen. That was wonderful. Praise the Lord. We bow down. That was so beautiful. Before I forget, I meant to mention this during the pastoral prayer. I will be on vacation starting after Christmas. So we need to be sure to give a warm welcome and hospitality to the Reverend Don Tabor, who will be here next Sunday. We'll be glad to see him, for many of you who know him. So just be sure and make him feel at home. Also, our friends from Madison will be here as well. So another opportunity to bring the family together. So let's be sure we enjoy that time together. We're going to be reading this morning from Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she'd born a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This is definitely a time to say thanks be to God for his word to us. This is probably a familiar text for many of us who spent time around the church during this season, and while it's familiar, oh, I hope it doesn't lose its wonder for us. I hope it doesn't lose just that incredible quality, that amazing life-giving quality that this story is. The virgin having a child, Joseph's shock and awe at this whole thing that he's going through. I mean, this is an amazing, amazing story. You know, it's not every day that a virgin has a child. And not just any child, but the Son of God. And as verse 18 says, this is about the birth of Jesus the Messiah, or Jesus the Christ, the long-awaited royal figure from Israelite history, the one that's been coming, that's been prophesied since even the first few pages of Genesis, is finally coming into the world. And what an entrance he makes. And what always strikes me and makes me wonder about the Christmas stories is just how God decides to enter into the world. The way in which the author of life steps into the story that he's writing. And not just from God's point of view, but from the point of view of the two lowly human parents. Talk about not having a clue as to the things that are about to happen to them or what's going on. I mean, maybe just some tiny glimpses, little bits, like this angel comes and says this tiny thing. I can only imagine what Joseph would have been feeling after this dream when he woke up. And as I was reading this text this week, I thought about how their story, how Mary and Joseph's story, what happens to them can teach us a lot about what God wants to do with us. You know, what the birth of Christ here can teach us about the Emmanuel that is yearning to be born within us, how God wants to come to life within us, just as he did so long ago. You know, and as we seek to kind of close out this year and enter into a new year coming up very soon, to consider what does God want to bring to life in our church and with us? You know, and whatever that is, whatever God wants to bring to life within you or this church, I know it's going to take a supreme amount of trust. A supreme amount of trust on your part and on our part as a church. I'm always so impressed with Joseph's character, how he wants to do the right thing in this passage. And I imagine that as he encounters his new bride, I imagine it doesn't take him very long to figure out that something is not quite right. It doesn't take him very long to realize that this child is not his. And I think it's so understandable for us to realize the shock and the pain or the confusion or maybe even those feelings of betrayal that he might be feeling in this time at Mary's pregnancy. You know, I wonder what he thought about her cries or her pleading of innocence to him, of the thing that God was doing quite literally within her. You know, did he scoff? Did he think there's no way? What was going through his mind? Was he thinking, oh, the old Holy Spirit pregnancy thing? Yeah, sure. You gonna try that one on me? I'm sure it, you know, it came to no surprise to me that he wanted to divorce her, and yet that his character. His character said, you know what, despite all the pain that I'm feeling, I don't want to continue that cycle of pain. I don't want her to put her through something that is going to hurt her even more. And I think it was important that he didn't make a big deal of it because Mary did have something going on. And just as he resolved to do this, as he was wrestling with this thing that he felt like he had to do but maybe didn't want to do, we have that beautiful dream where the angel comes and speaks to him and commands him to take Mary as his wife and to name the child Jesus. You know, I think often as I've read this story and as I think about this story, you know, sometimes I'm tempted to think that it was probably smooth sailing for Joseph. You know, after he'd heard that message from the angel that, you know, after that he was okay. He could go on and it was no big deal. He could take her and his wife and everything was just fine. But I wonder if that's how it really was. I wonder if even after hearing that message from the Lord, if it was still so smooth sailing for him. I wondered if he still struggled months later as he wrestled with this thing that God had spoken to him. I wondered if he struggled with people in his family or his friends looking at this situation and thinking to their selves and maybe speaking to him, you sure you want to go through with this? Oh, I wonder if he was able to talk about this vision or if maybe he thought that he couldn't share it. Would people really believe him if he told them what God wanted him to do? Or if maybe they just saw the circumstances surrounding this event? You know, as we seek the Lord and as we wonder what the Lord has in store for us, there's going to be times when God speaks to us and God wants us to do things, and it's going to require a lot of trust on our parts. When we're going to look at the circumstances and we're going to have people in our lives that maybe don't understand what it is that God might be wanting us to do. Maybe even in our families, or maybe it's some of our good friends, and they're going to wonder about us. And maybe even when we hear the Lord, maybe God told us to do something or told you about something long ago, and you've still been wrestling with it. Even though you've heard his voice, you're still coming up and you're facing this circumstances and wondering, is this right? Is this really what God wants me to do? And as we look at this story, I'm reminded of how important it is to trust the Lord. To trust the Lord, even though your circumstances might be telling you not to. To trust in that message that you have heard, and to trust that God is going to make a way through it. To keep on following that word that he has given you, even if it costs you something. Like it perhaps cost this new family that was being formed here. Like it cost Joseph perhaps his relationship with his family or his friends. You know, we're not told any of that. We're not told of any of how he may have encountered the people in his life, how they took this information that maybe he told them. But I have to imagine it wasn't easy. I have to imagine if he told them what was going on that they probably had a hard time with it just as he had a hard time with it. I have to imagine that Mary and Joseph faced a significant amount of temptation along the way to throw in the towel. Or at the very least, to trusting in themselves to be the vessels through which God would work in this situation. Because sometimes, you know, when God calls us to do something, it requires a lot of trust. And maybe it's going to be outside of what people normally expect of us. But it also might cause a little bit of a scandal even. As this, I'm sure, caused a little bit of a scandal. But Mary and Joseph were willing to pay that cost. They were willing to face those times of uncertainty and those times of relying on nothing but faith to let this thing that God was doing come to be. You know, in our own desires to be faithful to the Lord, we're going to encounter some hardship. And we're going to encounter a cost. Every time you encounter change in your life, it comes with some sort of cost. Are we going to be willing to pay that cost, to be faithful to the Lord, to remember that whatever it is we face, whatever it is we give up, it's going to be worth it in the end? When I think about Mary, I just think about how I'm sure there was times when she was going through her pregnancy and going through the pain of childbirth where she was thinking, I don't know about this, Lord. I don't know if this is really worth it. Perhaps all parents or moms go through that at some point. I don't know. But the joy that comes with it, and how often does the Bible use that imagery of a mom going through pain, knowing that at the end of that, there's going to be joy to come. And my friends, as we read this story, I'm reminded of whatever God calls us to be faithful to it. Be faithful to the Lord no matter what circumstances you may face, because God is going to bring joy out of it. And I wonder, how has your obedience to the Lord maybe cost you? How has your obedience to God over these years in your own walk with faith, within faith, how has that cost you? How has maybe you looked at things and wondered, is this the right thing? And I bring that up because those of you that are maybe older in your Christian walk, we need you to be telling those stories. We need you to be remembering the legacy of faith that you've walked through so that you can tell our students as they sit here on Sunday mornings, or our youth that are here on throughout the week. When they need to know these stories of your own trust and your own obedience in difficult circumstances, so that it would give them hope and faith on their journeys. And as we do that, we see in verse 24 and 25, you know, that as Joseph woke up, he did it. He followed through. You know, it seems like maybe a small thing, but you know how hard it is to follow through these days with sometimes anything? Have you been in your job, or have you been a part of even this church sometimes, or been in anything and people have a lot of grand plans or thoughts, but they don't follow through? I'm amazed here how Joseph woke up from this dream. And we might think, well, sure, of course. But even still, he did the small things. He followed through. He took Mary as his wife, and he didn't sleep with her until sometime after their son was born, and he named him Jesus. He submitted to God's will for him. He placed himself under the authority of the Lord, who told him what to do and how it was to be done. Have you done that? Have you placed yourself under the Lord's authority? Have you submitted your life to the Lord and said, God, I am yours. Whatever you want from me today, I want it to be done. Whatever it is that you're calling me to do, even though I can't see it, I trust that you can, and so I'm going to place myself under your authority. I think many people in today's time struggle with placing themselves under authority. Maybe it's because so many of our leaders have had scandals where it's hard to trust them, even in the church. Maybe it's because we get to be thinking that we get to be the masters of our own stories. But here we are reminded that it is God who is the ultimate authority, and His authority is one that can be trusted. Being under His authority can be a vastly freeing and life-giving thing. It can allow us to flourish in life as He intended us to live it. I think about growing up for all of my students, how one of the struggles of growing up for all of us is learning to live with authority over you as you slowly get older and want more of your own authority. And isn't that such a hard balance to strike? I can look out here and see so many parents that are struggling with that authority, so many students that are struggling to have that authority come to be. And so my encouragement for all of you is to submit yourself to the Lord's authority first, knowing that His authority will lead you where it needs to be, where you need to be. Will you place yourself not just under His care, but under His command to bring about His hopes and dreams for your life, you have to combine that freedom He gives you with doing as He commands us to do. And you know, finally, as we think about our passage here, and as we think about Joseph and this text, as we think about this this text from Joseph's perspective, I like doing that, but ultimately this text is about Jesus. It's ultimately about His incredible birth mentioned in this passage. A birth that caused Matthew to look back in his Bible thousands of years and read about this prophecy from Isaiah of how what God was doing, how God was going to be coming into the world as a sinless human named Jesus, who was sinless and holy. He had no rebellion against God within Him, and yet He was so unlike us in that way. But at the same time, He was one of us. As Debbie shared, He came and He lived and He was born in a manger, not some palace, not some unattainable reality that so many of us can't understand, but yet He came in such humble circumstances. He came here and He submitted Himself to His Father's authority and His Father's plan wholeheartedly. And He lived into that purpose that God had for Him. You know, Jesus was called Emmanuel. And I love in this passage because it doesn't say that Jesus called Himself Emmanuel. It doesn't say that Jesus' parents called Him Emmanuel. It says that they will call Him Emmanuel. They will call Him, "This is God with us. This is God with us." You know, as we think about that, I think about how the people looked and they saw Jesus and they called Him Emmanuel. They realized as they saw Him grow up and saw the profound questions that He was saying in the temple, that this teenager, something was different about this teenager. Nathanael realized as Jesus told him that he saw Him under the fig tree and he knew everything about Him, that something was different about Jesus. As Peter listened to Jesus that day on the boat where he threw the net over the other side of the boat and couldn't hardly pull up his net because there were so many fish in there, that something was different about this Jesus. His mother realized once again at this celebration of this wedding in Cana that Jesus was one to be listened to, that something was different about Him. The disciples realized as Jesus quieted the storm with a word that something was different about Jesus. As the sick and the hurting and the lonely and the outcasts of society came to Him and He healed them and He brought them in as he welcomed them, they realized something is different about this man. As He taught them to pray or to love their enemies or to rest their burdens on Him, something was different about Him. And as that Roman centurion looked up on the cross and saw this man bleeding and dying for people that killed him, as he yelled out, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do," this centurion had that moment where he realized something is different about Jesus. As He taught, as He teaches us, as He suffers for us, as He's there for us, as He loves us, may we see that there's something different about Jesus. May we be the people in 2019 who say, "That is God with us. That is the one who is with us." This same Emmanuel who was with us so long ago is now with us through His Spirit. And He is inviting us to trust Him. He's inviting us to listen to His voice and hear, what is it that God wants from you? What is it that God is calling you to do? What is it that God is calling us to do as a church? It's going to require us to be born and to be new. God doesn't want to just take what's within us and reform it a little bit. Joseph was righteous on his own, but God was about to bring something new that required something even more: His wholehearted trust and devotion. And so, my friends, this morning, I pray that all of us in this, as we approach Christmas, and as we go through Christmas, that we would be willing to stop and to think, do I really trust the Lord in every area of my life? Am I trusting the Lord now when He has spoken to me, even though my circumstances are not pointing to any way being possible? And have I submitted myself to God? Is there something that I am that I am still holding on to when I need to give it up to the Lord so that I can experience Emmanuel once again. Let's pray. Father, as we think about this incredible story of these incredible young parents who were given such an impossible, unlikely message from you, Lord, we are reminded that once again, God, you interrupt our lives to bring about incredible goodness. Lord, we're so thankful that long ago you interrupted the lives of Mary and Joseph, that you stopped Joseph from going through with what he thought he needed to do, what he thought the world would want him to do, and instead was faithful to your voice. That he didn't count the cost of perhaps being ridiculed or perhaps not understanding what was going on, but yet he stuck with Mary because you wanted him to. And Lord, we are so grateful for how you have come to be with us. God, we yearn for more of you. God, we yearn to experience your presence even more. Lord, in 2019, we need you. Our country, our world needs you once again. We want to see you and we want to be people who testify, just like the prophet did so long ago, that God is with us in today, right here, and right now. Lord, let that be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing our final hymn, I want to encourage you, if you want to come and pray, let's come and pray about whatever it is that maybe God has been calling on you to do, and maybe it's something that you've been struggling with, or if there's something going on in life that you have been withholding from the Lord, something going on that you just can't shake, but you believe or you want to believe that God, who can do all things, can come into your life and make you new. I know it's so possible. Let's pray about it. I want to invite you to come here and pray or to worship the Lord and pray as you see fit. Let's honor the God who is Emmanuel.